Somebody believed it. It was the best idea somebody had at one time. And we bought into it. I'm not suggesting we criticize. I am suggesting that everybody in those days taught us what they knew. They couldn't teach us what they didn't know. But they taught us what they knew. And the one thing that hell and damnation fiery sermon did for me, it kept me on a short leash. And I didn't wander far at all because I feared dying and going to hell. They'd preach hell so hot, that was like a tie a horsehair to me and hang me over the fire and just go, hey, I hope you don't drop. I would leave church afraid. I would watch movies about the end of time and go home and not sleep for a week. But everything was dealing with was what was going on out of me, my conduct. But once I understood this is a transformational experience on the inside. And when God does the inside, the outside begins to fall in line because something in here is of core values and has a greater value than the conduct I've been living. I've got to straighten up some things in my life and I've got to embrace some new things in my life because I'm seeing things different today. When you see things different, things will look different. Now, whether we realize it or not, we brush up against this liminal space a lot and we don't know it. But I read in the Bible, and much of the work of God is done with people in a liminal space. I can't go through all the examples I have tonight, but one of my favorites, and if I'm preaching this, I'm going to give you one of my favorites. I'd love to give you one of yours, but I don't know yours. How many remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? And the boy had to go look a bunch of times before he saw what he saw. This is typical of a liminal experience or a liminality. All right, before I talk about Elijah, and if I forget and don't come back to him, somebody remind me. You remind me. Just go back to Elijah after a while. Okay. Throw something at me. Well, miss me, but throw it. The issue with this, okay, I'll go back with Elijah. Don't throw nothing. It's about to get off track there. Okay, thank you. Remember Elijah went to the widow's house? All right, let's talk about the liminal experience in Elijah's life. The first thing that happened to him is he was separated from the group. A lot of prophets, but God separated him. He said, go tell Ahab, it's not going to rain till you say so. So he went and prophesied to the king. Yeah. And now he's in a liminal space. He's got a word on the line and doesn't know when the next word's coming. But God said, go hide yourself. Oh, I would love to hear that word when I prophesied something to somebody. Gerald Doggett, you've said the word of the Lord, go hide yourself. That would be good news. Elijah went to hide himself. He's at a brook. Ravens feed him. Brook dries up. Still, I've got this closure on this that I can't have. I don't know when it's coming. He's still in that liminal place, just wandering around, not having much direction, not knowing where to go, feeling lost a bit, trying to trust God, no one to talk to. He winds up, in essence, winding up at a widow woman's house, winds up at some point, finds a dead son, raises the son from the dead. Then all of a sudden, later on, we find him on Mount Carmel with a young boy and prophets of Baal and an altar. And the beautiful thing about this is some theologians believe that boy was the one he raised from the dead. And his mama said, go with this man. He will do you good. Just go with this man. Just do what he says. And so Elijah's there with the boy that he raised from dead. And understand, this boy has walked with Elijah, so he's in his own liminal experience. He's left home, don't know where he's going. He's in the middle of nowhere between two somewheres. I was somewhere, I'm going somewhere, but right now I don't know what's going on. I'm up here on the mountain with a bunch of prophets of Baal, and it's just me and the old guy, and something's got to give, and it looks like we're going to be the meal. And in the process of this, Baal's prophets try to get the fire to fall. Doesn't fall. Then Elijah comes along and pours water on everything. And understand, the water covered it all. It was doused in water. Elijah prays, the fire falls, and the incredible thing about the fire falling is it consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the water, the whole altar. It was gone. Why was it gone? Because that was an altar of Baal originally, and God won't have an altar on the altar of Baal. We don't worship him in high places. Come on now. Stay with me. We're not going to lose you. God said to Elijah, this is a one-time deal. I'm going to do it to bring a nation back to God. I won't do it every time this way to bring a nation back to God, but they're going to have to know on their spot where their God answers, your God answered and brought results right at the same spot. And I'm going to destroy it after that, so don't ever build it again. It's destroyed. Elijah goes and starts to pray. And the beauty of this prayer is theologians tell us that he was in the birthing position. How incredible is that? Birthing a miracle. And he looks at the boy after a minute and he says, go out there and look at the coastline and see what you see. Tell me what you see. Notice he didn't tell the boy what he should see. The boy wasn't detailed. If it had been detailed, he said, what am I supposed to look for? He didn't say that. He just went and looked. He came back. I don't see nothing. Elijah said, go look again. All the while he's praying, crying out to God in the birthing position. The boy goes again, comes back, said, I don't see anything. Again, looking for something. Doesn't know what it is. Doesn't even know it. If he sees, he knows it. But he comes back all these times and says, I don't see anything, I don't see anything. Finally, the last time he goes and sees, and he comes back and he says, I just see a cloud about the size of a man's hand coming up out of the sea. Now, in the way the text reads, and I didn't take time to pull it out tonight, but the way the text reads, the boy is saying to Elijah, I saw something that I did not notice before. Which means the cloud was there all the time. But he had to learn to see the mysteries of God to become what God wanted the boy to become, because he'd been in the school of Elijah, and Elijah had to give the birth of seeing into the boy so he could prophetically see what was happening. And then his first assignment was go prophesy to the king. Go tell the old evil king that just lost his sacrifice to get out of town. It's going to rain on him. The boy's first assignment is that. So the liminal experience took him from the resurrection, following Elijah over a several year experience into a mountain, and finally comes out of it being a prophet ordained of God to speak to a king to bring a nation back to God over an unusual situation. Almost every person that God used in a magnificent way in the Bible before that manifestation was in a liminal experience, a nowhere between two somewheres, sort of lost his way. What about Jonah and the tuna, whale, whatever it was? One preacher said Jonah and the minnow. God said a minnow swallowed him, I believe it. But Jonah knew he was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he didn't. There were adversaries around that open door, and he couldn't go there. He feared to go there, so he bought a ticket to Tarshish. He went to the other place. He's still out of place. He knew he left where he was, and he did not go there. He went somewhere else, so he's in limbo. He's not where he should be, and God corrects him, brings him back. And finally, the thing he didn't want to do brought countless thousands to the kingdom because he finally got obedient. Now, let me give you one more earthly example and I'll wrap this up. There are customs that some people have that when a young man is going to marry someone of that group, that young man has to be separated from the others and go through certain rituals and things of that nature to qualify him or make sure he's qualified to marry the lady, same thing in her group. Now, what that happens is that's the perfect earthly picture of a liminal experience. The young man is selected out of other young men. He's the one that wants to be married. So he has to separate from them. He can't be them anymore. He's not a single man anymore because he is betrothed to someone that he's going to marry. And so he's separated from them. And the beauty of this is the single people won't have him anymore because he doesn't fit with them. He's over here by himself. So a decision has separated him from the group. Some of you in this room have made decisions that separated you from a group. Some of you had to make a decision and had to leave a group. And to some of you, that decision was tough. And maybe you sit here this evening and you feel all by yourself. And sometimes you long for that group, whether it was a good group or a not so good group. You long for that group. And you know you can't go back to that group for a whole host of reasons, but you feel by yourself. You don't know where you're going. You're wandering around with no destination, no clear-cut direction in life. You get up and put out the fire that's burning every day, every moment of your life. You have no plan for next week, next month. You don't even have a plan for the rest of the day. It's just whatever pops up that I got to deal with is what I deal with. And that's a terrible way to have to live, and yet many people find themselves having to live that way. But this guy is separated. And finally, there are things that he goes through to get to the other side, or a threshold he crosses to get to where the married people are. Now understand, he left the single and can't go back. But he can't join the married because he's not married. So he doesn't fit anywhere. And that's where some people are tonight. You don't fit anywhere. You know what's in your heart and you want to go there, but there are many adversaries around that open door, and you can't get across that threshold because you're afraid you're not going to make it, and there's just too much resistance, and I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of that. I'm worn out. I'm worn out when sleep doesn't help. I'm worn out between my ears and I can't sleep it off. It's just there when I go to sleep. It's there when I wake up. But until that man crosses the threshold and becomes married and leaves one group and joins completely to another group, he will never be accepted. My question to you is, if you've been separated or feel in your life, now this is an internal thing, not an external thing. If in your life, and I'll confess to you, I felt this many times in my life, but didn't know how to explain it. I felt separated. I was in a crowd, and I would just think to myself, I don't even belong here. I need to be somewhere else. I don't belong here. And I would try to shake hands and be friendly and just couldn't make it happen. Just wasn't there. It wasn't for me. If someone would have said, where do you belong? I would have said, I don't know. Because I didn't know. I just know I don't belong here. And I just wandered here and there. And I would call my headquarters and say, this is what I'm feeling. What do you got to tell me? And I love their verbiage. It was always the same. Hang in there. It's going to get better. The translation of that is, if they don't hang you, we will. I'm not bitter. I'm better. But I didn't know where I belonged, and there was no one to guide me. I grew up before we knew about spiritual fathers. I had them, but didn't know how to access what they could provide. Never knew. I just thought they were great people and great friends of mine. I loved them, and they loved me. And one gave me my first preaching engagement, and I'll never forget him. When I finally found out about spiritual fathers, and I thought, that's my father. That's my spiritual father. And I called and found out he had passed on a few years earlier. Just missed him. The good news wasn't good news because it was too late. I wanted to tell him I was his son. He was my father in a spiritual sense. But I close with this tonight. I don't know about you, but I think you're tired of wrestling with all this stuff. And you're tired of wanting some things from God that seem impossible to attain. Maybe it's family relationships. Maybe it's a personal relationship. Maybe your relationship, is, as it goes with marriage, your marriages or people that you might would marry, has just been total chaos and failure, and you just never found the right one, or you've never found anything, and you just decided to shelve the whole bunch. It's just not there. But you really want some companion that loves you. I believe God is interested enough in giving you that if that's what you desire. obviously within the proper biblical grounds of that. And I won't go into all that this evening, but you know what I'm talking about. But understanding that, if you're having a financial hardship and you see some success on the other side of a threshold, you think, if I could just get there, if I just get that job, if I could just start that business, I think things would be better for me. But there's so many things standing against me. I can't challenge those things that are standing against me because they'll take me out, and I can't afford that. In fact, I told someone the other day, if I blow this and it takes me out, I can't recover again because I can't live long enough. So I can't make mistakes that are glaring like that. I have to listen, follow, be obedient, be responsive, a keen ear for the Spirit of God, for His words, for how He wants it. Listen to others that I counsel with, and they bring information in, and let's collectively make the wise decision that comes from a multitude of counsel. And let's do this for the kingdom. Perhaps some of you ministers, and I would never call you out at all and embarrass you in any way, but maybe some of you ministers across this building, and I know there's some that are ministers, but we're not particularly introduced tonight because you've been here before and been a part of this body. But if you're in a no man's land right now, and you don't seem to fit where you are, and you don't know where you fit, I'm telling you, don't give up, and don't fold the tent and walk away. God has better for you than you've ever had in your life. Just get through this. An open door is going to show up pretty soon, and there are going to be some adversaries, but you're wise enough and mature enough to challenge the adversity and say, if that's where my destiny is, that's where I belong. And God's going to give you the desire of your heart. So take heart. I love Mary. Her liminal experience, when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. Shoop. Conception. Now she's got a whole society against her. I won't go into the customs of the day, but yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff that she was in trouble for and Joseph was in trouble for. He had every right to put her away based on the story she's telling. But she leaves and she goes to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is in her sixth month and her child hasn't moved. You know the story. I've told it here before. But hear this part of the story this time. When Mary comes and salutes Elizabeth, suddenly the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy. Why do you think that would happen? Because her baby senses his destiny just come to meet him in Mary. Two unseen unborn children respond because destiny connects them. Forget the fact a younger generation is merging with an older generation. Forget the torches being passed. Forget all the things that maybe you know about that just for the moment and understand. When she came into the presence of someone and her baby found a destiny connection in another child that was not born. Don't tell me children don't have feelings. And he began to leap, jump. Sometimes in services you feel something that connects to something in you and something in you wants to come alive. And you just think it's hoping against hope. It just won't work. Can't happen. Too much stuff in front of me. I tell you, there are ways it can be done. I felt God speak about a leadership institute. I didn't know where to begin. I began on a plane coming back from Africa, writing down stuff on a piece of paper that I found in the back of the seat in front of me. I just wrote stuff for about 8 hours. But when I tell you we begin to start that, God showed up in so many ways and still is showing up in so many ways. It's been one more amazing journey right after another. I've asked God to have a footprint on every continent in the world before I die. And I can tell you it's moving in that direction at warp speed right now. And I never dreamed it would happen at this point in my life. And happen the way it's happening. You want to be a happy guy? Look at me. I'm the happiest guy on the planet. Do I have stuff going on in my world? Absolutely. Stuff always follows me. It's like the devil says, you got a load of stuff, go give it to Doggett. Let's see if we can drown him in stuff. This might not have made a lot of sense to some people, but to some people it's a lifeline. And if it's your lifeline tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to make it right. Would you, everyone, stand for just a moment with me? Yeah, Mary Helen, can we sing the song again? Yeah. Something I need for you to do. If those, Pastor, you still have those who pray for others, would you guys come on up to the front, please, and take your places? Ladies and gentlemen, you know who you are. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Because there's one invitation I want to give before I do anything else tonight, and that's this one. If you've tried behavior modification and it's not worked for you and you just can't work yourself into being a Christian by modifying your behavior, and you'd like a genuine transformation tonight from the inside out, I'm going to invite you to come give your life to Jesus for a transformational experience. Absolutely. You know, a caterpillar could never fly with behavior modification. Wasn't built to fly. Can't fly. But after transformation, that's all it knows, is to fly. And that's how it is when Jesus comes into your life and there's a transformational experience. Then suddenly, you know, all you can do is just go with God. And there's a radical change. Tonight, you'd like to cross that liminal space from death unto life. I really don't want you to raise your hand. I want you to take the hand of a friend if they're close by and say, come with me to the altar. I want to be transformed by the power of God tonight. Just take a friend's hand and say, walk with me there. You don't have to do anything with me, but I just don't want to be alone. But walk with me there. And I want you to do that right now. If you're anywhere in this building and you feel a need to come to Jesus, just take the hand of someone. If you want to come by yourself, that's fine. Not a problem at all. Just come on. But you can cross a threshold tonight and something can change in your life that's never really changed before. And you'll find living for God is a whole different experience than it's ever been. I'll give you another minute or two. We're a little bit over time, but Pastor said we had some flexibility here this evening. And there's no more important decision that you will make than this one. If you'd like that experience from life unto death, come on now. If you don't want to come by yourself, take the hand of a friend. Ask them. If they don't want to come with you, grab another friend. If they don't want to come with you, grab a stranger. Somebody loves you enough to walk with you if you don't want to come alone. Waiting just a moment longer. I think some are discussing it. I'll give you a moment. Good decision time tonight. Really good. What a great day to do it. Just before midnight on 2019. That's pretty incredible. Absolutely. Okay? I'm going to give you just a moment longer. Then we're going to change the order here and move something else. Okay? Now, those of you that don't know the direction you're going, but you know God has something for you and you're unsure about it, and you feel like you're in that limbo situation, you can't go back, you can't go forward, you're just kind of hanging around, but you see a door open, you know God wants you to go through there, but there's just too much stacked against you right now. If you'd like for those adversaries to be rebuked and moved and gotten out of the way, you've never challenged them. It's time to challenge them. You've seen them and acknowledged their presence, but you've not challenged them. Tonight we challenge them. You have no right to stand in my door of opportunity. If that would be you, I'd like for you to come on now and join someone up here in prayer. Move quickly if you can. We'll ask God for clarity in your life. We'll ask God for some direction for your life, for some will to fight or resist the adversity. some correction in your life to get things better. Better decision making. If you've got a history of bad decisions, you can get better decisions. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you want to know who prays for who, for what way, come ask somebody. Yeah. God's faithful. All right, those of you in the congregation, begin to sing with Mary Helen and the group as we sing this song. It's going to happen right here while they come tonight in prayer.